But thou hast kept the good wine until now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the second Sunday after Epiphany, and we see again it's continuing the time after the Epiphany, the mystery of today's faith, relating to the whole Epiphany. Before I start today, the Mass is being offered for Bernard Griffin today, today's Mass. The third mystery of the Epiphany shows us the completion of the merciful designs of God upon the world, at the same time that it manifests to us the third time. The first time was when the shepherds and the magi at the stable in Bethlehem, right? That was the first manifestation. All right? We bring you good news of great joy. A Savior is born. That was the first manifestation of the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. The second time was to the Jewish people at the baptism of St. John the Baptist, when St. John baptized Jesus. The glory of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. The star has led the soul to faith and sanctified waters at the Jordan, and has conferred purity upon her. Now that was the, when, of course, manifestation of Jesus, when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." The third is the marriage feast, when it unites her to her God. We have been considering during the octave the bridegroom revealing himself to the spouse. We have heard him calling her to come to him from the heights of Libanus, from Lebanon. And now, after having enlightened and purified her, he invites her to the heavenly feast where she is to receive the wine of divine love. So we see there's a great mystery in today's marriage feast gospel, the mystery of the divine love of Jesus. The water is changed into wine. And Jesus only can do that. Only God can do that. And that's the miracle. It's the new wine of charity. Dom Guaranger tells us, a feast is prepared. It is a marriage feast. And the mother of Jesus is present at it. For it is just that having cooperated in the mystery of the incarnation of the Word, Our Lady, behold the handmaid of the Lord, she should take part in all that her Son does, and all the favors he bestows on the elect. But in the midst of the feast, the wine fails. Wine is the symbol of charity or love, and charity has failed on the earth. For the Gentiles had never tasted the sweetness, its sweetness. And to the synagogue, the Jews, what had it produced but wild grapes? The true vine is our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone could give us that wine which gladdeneth the heart, Psalm 53:15. He alone could give us the chalice which inebriated, and of which the royal psalmist prophesied, Psalm 22:5. So we see the spiritual significance of today's feast, a wonderful feast, a mystical feast, because Jesus is not just changing water into wine. He is himself the wine of charity, and he is giving us this wine, and he is uniting himself to us. All right? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me beareth much fruit. Only by abiding with Christ, with grace, can we bear any fruit. And that's the mystical significance of this wonderful feast. And we see the hand of Our Lady. Our Lady says they have no wine, they have no faith, and so on. And she says the same thing to us in our world today, telling her Son they have no faith. And we need, my dear friends, in our times, just like it was needed 2,000 years ago for the Jews to wake up, see the Messiah, but of course they didn't see him, they rejected him. We need to wake up and see Jesus, the true wine of charity to us. Right? The wine of Christ. Dom Guaranger goes on and tells us, now there were six large water pots, stones of stone, there, and they were empty. The world was then in the sixth age, as St. Augustine and other holy doctors tell us. So those six water pots are significant because they represent the six ages of man, and they are empty. That's what has happened so far to the world. The world has been empty of any kind of love or charity. The Gentiles, of course, had never had it. And the Jews were, as we have known, they were a people that were not fulfilling what God had expected of them. And of course, that's why they didn't even recognize the coming of Christ, the Savior. During the six ages, the earth has been awaiting its Savior, who was to instruct and redeem it. Jesus commands these water pots to be filled with water, and yet water does not suit the feast of the spouse. The figures in the prophets' prophecies of the ancient world were this water, and until the opening of the seventh age, when Christ, who is divine, was to be given to the world, no man had contracted an alliance with the divine word. So this is important. So we're now, as we see with the coming of Jesus, in the seventh age, and we are called to a union with God, a union where we are united ourselves with Christ. First, through grace. If you love me, you keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come to you and abide with you. God dwells in our hearts with sanctifying grace. And when we receive Holy Communion, every time we do, we get that increase of sanctifying grace. He unites himself, right? He unites himself to us, right? He gives us the wine of charity, right? If he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Those are very powerful words, my friends. You can meditate on that for a long time. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, lives in me. We live in Christ, and he lives in us. That is such a powerful statement. It'll take you a long time to truly understand it, if you really can. I've been trying to understand it for a little while, asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten me. What does it really mean to live in Christ and he lives in me? Well, we can understand the surface value meaning of it. Jesus lives in us and we live in him. But what does it really mean? It really means many, many things. One of which is, of course, what we see in today's, how we are transformed into Christ. He calls to us from, as the psalmist says, from Lebanon. He calls the bride. We are the brides of Christ. That's what it's all about. Right? Going on. When he assumed a human nature, a nature weak and unstable as water, he effected a change in it. He raised it up even to himself by making us partakers of the divine nature. He gave us power to love him, to be united with him, to form that one body of which he is the head, the church, of which he is the spouse, and which he loved from all eternity, and with such a tender love that he came down from heaven to celebrate his nuptials with us. And that's what's the meaning of this particular. It's not just coincidental that Jesus' first miracle is at the nuptials ceremony of a couple. He's celebrating this nuptial to tell us of the great sacrament of matrimony and how the couple become one flesh and help God in the procreation of children. Right? Jesus manifests his glory as God. St. Matthew, the evangelist of the humanity of God, has received from the Holy Ghost a commission to announce the mystery of faith by the star. Today I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior is born. That's St. Matthew, the mission of God. God is coming. A Savior is born to us. St. Luke, the evangelist of Jesus' priesthood, has been selected by the same Holy Spirit to instruct us in the mystery of baptism in the Jordan. And the baptism is so important, because if we're not baptized, my friends, we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. How many people out there do not realize how important it is to be baptized? Interestingly enough, many people today don't even baptize their children. I had a woman tell me the other day, I'm going to let her decide for herself, or himself, for her, it was a girl, for herself, when she wants to be baptized. Right? That's foolishness, my friends, foolishness. Right? Baptism is such an important sacrament. St. Mark tells us, Jesus said, go therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Tell that to your friends who think there's nothing happening with religion. The only faith that gives us true baptism and unites us with Christ, of course, is, I shouldn't say the only faith, but the faith in the Catholic faith, outside of which there is no salvation. How else are you going to get Holy Communion, where we're going to be united with Christ more each time we receive? So it's so important to believe in Christ. The other faiths, of course, they have baptism, and they're valid. And of course, as the Lord said, unless you be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But it is so difficult to live in those faiths because you don't have the grace of the sacraments that the Catholic Church has. Where else are they going to receive Holy Communion, where Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. What other church are you going to get your sins forgiven? Right? He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Where else are we going to get our sins forgiven? Only the Catholic Church gives us confession to get our sins forgiven. Only the priest, with the absolution of the priest, yes, can receive absolution. Okay? Jesus gave that to the apostles. He who hears you, hears me. You absolve sins in the name of Jesus. Absolve them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My dear friends, these are great blessings. And that's what this feast is all about. It's the good wine of the Bride of Christ. Only Jesus, the Son of God, who manifests himself today, especially as God, the Son of God. Because only God can change water into wine. Hitherto, those water pots contained water. But that was not the water of charity. It's just plain water. We need that, of course, for health and all the things. But Jesus is only going to give us the wine of charity. And that's why when Our Lady says they have no wine, she is speaking symbolically in many ways, not just the wine for the ceremony, the good wine for the nuptial ceremony, right? But the wine of charity. And the good wine has been saved to last. You have saved the good wine to last. The good wine is not just the wine from that goes into the glass that we drink and enjoy, which is lovely and everything, but it's the good wine of Jesus Christ. He is the wine of charity, and he has come to give us life and give us it more abundantly. So this is a great spiritual feast, mystical in many ways, and talking about the union of the soul with God, as I say, with Holy Communion before. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. So it's so important for us to have Jesus in our soul, in sanctifying grace, with no mortal sins. So when we receive Holy Communion, we will grow in grace more and more, depending upon our dispositions, how much we wish to receive Holy Communion. That's why it's so important for us to make a proper preparation, prepare for Holy Communion by saying the prayers of the Mass and a good thanksgiving. Not to rush out after Mass and get going, It's not a race to see who can get out the door first. You should be spending time in thanksgiving with Jesus. In the book, In Sinu Jesu, Jesus talks about how the soul can get those precious graces in thanksgiving just by asking. But if they don't ask in thanksgiving, they'll not get the graces that they need in their life. So always make a good thanksgiving, because Christ is present and he wants to unite himself to you and become part of you, and you become part of him. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I live in him. Don't forget those words. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, abides in me, and I live in him. And you're going to have Holy Communion today and spend time with Jesus and ask him for the graces that you need and our worldly needs. Only Jesus Christ can help us. Only he can. He is the Son of God, and he can do all things. No one can help us. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. I will help you. I will give you all the graces you ask for, but you won't get them unless you ask for them. So ask and you will receive. Seek and you shall find. Let us pray the Holy Rosary, especially for each mystery, the fruit of the mystery, for peace and joy and patience and love and so on. And ask Our Lady to help us after each mystery to get the graces that we need to unite with her Son in true union, so we can grow in grace and fulfill ourselves and be happy with God and Jesus and the Holy Blessed Trinity and Our Lady and all the saints in heaven for all eternity. May the Lord bless you.